Though you should be going to live 3,000 years, and as many times 10,000 years, still remember that no man loses any other life than this which he now lives, nor lives any other than this which he now loses. The longest life and the shortest are thus brought to the same condition, for the present is the same to all, and that which perishes is also the same. And so that which is lost is but a mere moment. For a man cannot lose either the past or the future, for how can any one take from a man what he does not have? These two things, then, you must bear in mind. The one, that all things from eternity are of like forms and come round in a circle, and that it makes no difference whether a man shall see the same things during 100 years or 200 or an infinite time. And the second, that the longest liver and he who will die soonest lose just the same. For the present is the only thing of which a man can be deprived, if it is true that this is the only thing which he has. A man cannot lose a thing if he does not have it. All experience is formed by thinking. What was said by the cynic Monimus is quite clear, and quite clear too is the usefulness of what was said, if one takes from it what may be got out of it as far as it is true. The soul of man does violence to itself, first of all, when it becomes a separate growth, as it were, a tumour on the universe so far as it can. For to be vexed at anything that happens is a separation of ourselves from nature, in some part of which the natures of all other things are contained. In the next place, the soul does violence to itself when it turns away from any man, or even moves towards him with the intention of injuring him, such as are the souls of those who are angry. In the third place, the soul does violence to itself when it is overpowered by pleasure or by pain. Fourthly, when it plays a part, and does or says anything insincerely and untruly. Fifthly, when it allows any act of its own and any movement to be without an aim, and does anything thoughtlessly and without considering what it is, it being right that even the smallest things be done with reference to an end. And the end of rational animals is to follow the reason and the law of the most ancient city and polity of all, that is, the universe itself. In a human life, the temporal extent of it is a point. The substance of it is a flux or flow, its perception is dull, and the composition of the whole body subject to putrefaction, and the mind a whirl. Its fortune is hard to divine, and its fame impossible to judge. In a word, everything that belongs to the body is a stream, and what belongs to the mind is a dream and vapour, and life is a warfare and a stranger's sojourn, and the end of all fame is oblivion. What then may guide a man? One thing, and this only, philosophy. But this consists in keeping the guardian spirit within a man free from violence and unharmed, superior to pains and pleasures, doing nothing without purpose, nor yet falsely or with hypocrisy, not feeling the need of another man's doing or not doing anything. Moreover, accepting all that happens and all that is allotted as coming from that source, wherever it is, from whence he himself came. And finally, waiting for death with a cheerful mind, as being nothing else than a dissolution of the elements of which every living being is compounded. Now, if there is no harm to the elements themselves in the way that each continually changes into another, why should a man have any apprehension about the change and dissolution of all the elements? For it is according to nature, and nothing is evil, that is, according to nature.